just wondering what you've seen from Jalen Polk early this season and maybe what's contributed to some of the struggles he's had early on.
I think he just, you know, he needs to get over this mental hump. You know, you gotta eliminate the drop passes. You gotta be better blocking, which he did a great job in college at that. And at times throughout the season, he just has to continue to grow. He has to work harder. He has to pay more attention to the details. And we fully expect him to grow into a receiver that's dependable on run and pass downs.
How's Jerod Mayo back on Monday? Mental hump, has to work harder. Oh boy. He's talking about Jalen Polk. Patriots
he's trying to coach him
pick.
Up a little
yeah,
bit.
He's you know, tough love.
Yep.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Not for Gen Z. It's hour number two here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. We're going to talk to Dietrich Wise a day early. Patriots Friday tomorrow, but Pat's on their way to London. So he'll join us here momentarily. We're also going to talk to Andrew Raycroft, the Razor.
The Razor.
Talk some Bruins.
Nice Bruins win last night.
Real nice win.
Very
for the
nice.
Bruins. Who was in net that got the victory?
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't Jeremy Swayman, I can tell you that.
No, it wasn't.
So we'll do that coming up a little later on this hour. Stay tuned for all of it. But we played you that Jerod Mayo clip now a bunch of times this week. Mark Daniels at Mass Live caught up with Jalen Polk yesterday.
Yes.
For his thoughts.
This is a good get.
On Jerod Mayo's comments. Let's just say Jalen Polk doesn't sound like he loved it.
No?
He said, quote, "I'm not dealing with any mental problems. No mental problems at all." When asked about the recent drop passes, Polk said, "I believe I have the best hands in the league."
I'm sorry?
He said, "I believe I have the best hands in the league."
I got a news flash for him.
He doesn't.
"So I feel like my drops, that's not an issue at all."
Okay.
He went
best
on,
hands in the league. So I love the confidence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got to tell you this. I love the confidence. You know me. I also love receivers. I'm very big pro receiver guy. But I also think you need to be like a made man. So say like Larry Fitzgerald had a run where he dropped a couple of passes, and if he came out and said I have the best hands in the league, he'd be like, yeah,
yeah, you might.
You probably do.
Yeah.
You've just dropped a couple of passes. You can't catch them all. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or anybody that like demands the ball. If Terrell Owens is demanding the ball, or if Justin Jefferson is demanding the ball. Moss, you're like, you know what? Get him the ball. Like, the guy's right. But if you haven't even played in the league, and then when you have played, you've dropped passes or you couldn't get your toes in bounds, and then you complained about it, and then you still didn't know the rule after the fact, I have less sympathy for you. I think you
What did Bourne say to us? Bourne's like, look, you can say whatever you want. We love the confidence, but you got to go out there and back it up. If you don't go out there and back it up, that doesn't work.
This is the guy, and I don't know if it's exactly what Jerod Mayo is talking about with changing the starting lineup and things like that, but my guess would be Jalen Polk's playing time this Sunday is drastically lower than it was last week, and dare I say, maybe even inactive. I think Jerod Mayo
think he might be inactive now.
Yeah, I do, because I wonder if Jerod Mayo, and you know he knows everything that's said in the media. So basically, Mayo's trying to cut him some slack.
I wonder if they go the other way, Keith. And
playing
they say,
too much?
Yeah, no, seriously. Like, oh, I was too mean to him. I accuse him of having mental problems.
All right,
not
so
what
it's
he
a
did.
Big test for Mayo then coming up.
Like,
what would you do?
Twitch chat says, oh, I would sit him down. You're not playing.
I'd bench him.
Go, maybe you're a healthy scratch. You're definitely playing less
but
than
your
Kendrick
prediction
Bourne.
Is
you're
he...
barely, like, the Twitch chat makes a good point. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. He's a player's coach. So what does a player's coach do? They go, oh, my player's upset. My player's angry. I'm going to empower them. He had a few more comments, but you can weigh in on all this. After a rough two-game stretch, writes Mark Daniels about Jalen Polk at Mass Live. It remains to be seen if Polk will remain in the starting lineup. I would say debatable.
No,
whether
he's not.
Or not he will, he should not.
No,
I'm with
Booty,
you on that.
Booty's already getting more snaps. Booty and Pop are going to play more than him.
And you know Bourne's just going to play more and more the healthier he gets.
Mm-hmm.
When asked if he was eager to prove himself, Polk said he was limited in what he could do on the field. I feel like I'm limited to what I can really do right now, Polk said. I mean, just continue to keep a good mindset and get better. When asked to clarify what he meant, Polk responded, I wouldn't say anything specific.
Oh, okay.
I'll just say I'm limited on certain things right now.
So you're going to be real limited when you don't play. That's what I think it's going to be. And I don't want to come across as the hard ass, right?
Yep.
I know that it's hard to coach players that way in this day and age. I think it's his lack of production thus far in a game in which two of the other receivers and even one of the tight ends had great games, right? Drake May came onto the scene in his debut. They're throwing the ball downfield.
Career high for Pop Douglas, career high for Kayshon Booty. Not
first,
long careers,
nope,
but career highs.
No, and first career touchdown for Pop Douglas,
yep.
The whole thing. And then you have this guy who was their high second round pick, does nothing, drops a pass, isn't really a factor. And then afterwards is saying, just dismissing what the coach said, right? Like, oh, like, you know, hey, he's got to get over like a mental hurdle or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I don't have a mental problem. And I have the best hands in the league. And, the way, I'm not being utilized properly.
By the way, the text line's right. 37937. He didn't accuse you of having mental problems. He said you need to get over a mental, there's a mental
block
catching right now. And so, right.
It happens.
Jalen Polk is way overreacting to that comment. It was a touch strong from Jerod Mayo. He didn't need to go there. He didn't need to say he's got a mental block and all these things are there. But right, grow up, deal with it. It's okay.
I'm sitting him down. I think it's the easiest thing to do. Send a message.
Okay.
Send a message.
I'm afraid they'll go the other way. I'm afraid.
Target him first five possessions.
I'm afraid Mayo is like, I was too mean. I don't want to lose the locker room. I'm going to play him because I don't want to lose this
player. They run that stupid end around to him again right up where he gets tackled for like a yard.
I'm nervous about that. I wonder if it goes the other way before these comments from
Jalen
Polk crying about.
Of Mayo heard about these immediately.
Of course he heard about these.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know.
This is a big decision for him.
Like, to me, that I feel like Mayo would want to shy away from being accused of saying his player has mental problems, which is not what he said.
No,
but then
problems.
I also feel like Polk is calling out the coaching staff by saying I'm underutilized.
And you also right now have at least two guys better. You at least have two guys better.
Maybe
three with Bourne, depending on how you feel.
He's playing better. Is Booty definitely better? Debatable.
No, right now
he is. But I get what you're saying. Yes.
As of this moment, I still think for the season and certainly their careers, Polk should be better.
Booty's had one game, is all I would say. Yeah, but it's one more game than Jalen Polk.
Even the game before, it felt like they trusted him more and he played a lot of snaps.
He played a ton of snaps the game before, yes.
So, but there wasn't as much opportunity because it was Jacoby Brissett throwing the ball.
Right.
I just think like I grade it way more. I look at last game more than I look at the previous five, just because of who the quarterback was. If he's on the same page, even if there's that one great play, he's more on the same page with Drake May than certainly Jalen Polk is. And Booty isn't calling out the coaching staff. You know, he's not saying
he's
limited right now. Like, what do you mean you're limited? What are you talking about?
No, I don't think he's been limited. He played a ton. And the coaching staff
got a lot of confidence.
Coaching staff didn't shove you out of bounds. Yeah. Coaching staff didn't drop those footballs. I'm sorry, I was just reading. Alex Van Pelt is talking now, and so I'm just catching up on a few of the things he had to say.
That's our guy.
Here is what he said about Drake May popping up on the injury report. Not concerned, which is Phil Perry said that last night.
Like it.
On BST.
Good stuff.
He says that's for the head coach and the trainers, but he looked good to me. I don't know if he was asked directly about an MRI. I'm just sifting through some of the comments. Mm-hmm. He was asked as well about Kayshon Booty.
What about Kayshon?
He was asked on early on whether or not they saw Booty as a starting wide receiver.
Okay.
He said as he continued.
I think he's like on this team.
Okay, but this might be indirectly about Jalen Polk.
Oh.
As he continued to work, the biggest thing with Booty was how he approached practice, and he really tried to put on the hat, and he did great work. I'm proud of his perseverance.
Put on the hat?
That's the quote I'm reading. Put on his hard hat. I'm sorry.
Oh, his hard hat.
I put on his hard hat.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me, Alex Van Pelt.
Yeah.
Hard hat.
Yeah, put a hard hat. He's like a ham and egger. You
exactly.
know?
Lunch pail.
Lunch pail guy.
Yeah, for sure a lunch
Grabs
pail guy.
His morning coffee, yeah, a little sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely no cream or sugar in that coffee. It's a black coffee like you read about. Hair on his chest. I'm so proud of him for his perseverance. So is that...
Proud?
Should we in any way make that or read into that as a dig at Jalen Polk? He's trumpeting up all these things.
A little bit.
And Booty's passed him on the depth chart.
Yeah, so we have no idea like what Polk's practice habits are like. All we can really see him is in the games. But if he is hyping up Booty, I think a lot of times, and Mayo's even confirmed this, so this isn't even us just guessing. A lot of times when you talk about one player, it's also very much about another player. And Polk is in the spotlight here this week. So when you're asking him a question about one of the other players that is playing more than him right now, then yeah, I think that could be a message.
I think
him.
So too. So interesting. And these are things we can talk to Dietrich Wise about when he joins us here on Jones and Keefe. Meanwhile, let's get to some phone calls. Adam's in Canton on Jalen Polk. Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, hey guys, doesn't Polk saying he has the best hands in the league prove that he's kind of mentally in another universe?
Yes. It's probably fair. I mean,
yes,
he certainly does not have the best hands in the league. So, I don't necessarily disagree with...
But, like, you have to prove that. Like, that's insane to say.
Look,
like, it's one thing to have confidence, but, like, I have the best hands in the league. I'm being limited right now.
Best hands in the league is crazy. To say, I'm better than what I've shown would be completely fair.
Yeah.
Even to say, because the book on him in college was that he did have pretty good hands.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
You know, and so... But
for people who didn't watch all the Huskies games last year, it doesn't look like he does.
So, Jalen Polk says he has the best hands in the league, and Javon Baker says he's a top 10 receiver in the league.
If only these guys were actually on the team. Imagine if the Patriots had the guy with the best hands in the league. It'd be awesome.
And Jalen Polk loses snap share week over week over week, and Javon Baker can't get on the field. And yeah, was he a healthy scratch last week? He was.
Baker was, yeah.
Yeah, he was he's a healthy scratch.
He was a scratch. He and Tyquan Thornton were both scratches.
Okay. So, these are how they're talking in that receiver room. Oh, yeah, and Tyquan Thornton says he needs to take things personally.
Yep.
And has a Michael Jordan meme when he was a healthy scratch. So that's your receiver room. And by the way, they're not super productive.
Jalen Polk, is this right? Played every snap against Miami?
That's probably right. I mean, I feel like he was playing a lot of snaps between weeks 2 and 5. That's probably right.
So this is what I'm looking at here. It looks like from week 1, this is just percentage of snaps.
Yeah, week 1 I feel like wasn't 54. Super high, but I remember being like, oh, that's higher than I thought, but I knew it wasn't a huge number. Week 2, I think it started to go up.
So it went from 54 to 60.
Okay, still low.
Down to 50, although that was the Jets game.
Those are lower than I thought, though.
But then 83 against the Niners, and then 100 against Miami, and then down to 65.
Okay, so
against Houston.
He played well in the Niners game. That's the best he played. I still think he reeled in that 50-yard catch, in fairness to him.
Yeah, maybe.
And then the Miami game, he didn't do anything except step out of bounds on what would have been the go-ahead touchdown.
He has 10 catches in 6 games.
78 yards, right, off the top of my head?
Yes. 78 yards. 10 catches, 78 yards. 1 touchdown. I know if you ask him, he says he has 2 touchdowns.
He's got,
but he really has the one.
He got boned. He has a 50-yard catch and a touchdown.
And what is it? At least 2 drops.
He had 2 drops last week. I don't know how many he has on the year.
He had a few against the Dolphins too.
It was 2 last week.
Ugh.
He's got 78 yards on the year. DeMario Douglas had 92 on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Not great.
It's a slow start. I'm not writing him off yet. I just think there are signs. And then the way he's talking now, I feel like they're forcing Jerod Mayo's hand now to sit him. Now, you might be right. They could go the absolute opposite way. When Pop Douglas was saying, hey, I need the ball or whatever, and then I'm paraphrasing, then the very next week they design plays for him right off the shoot. Like, that'll be pretty amazing if he sees Sunday morning as we're sitting there drinking our Bloody Marys.
The first check is he active or not? Like,
if
the first check is he going to be active for the game in London? The second check is, right, is he...
Does Van Pelt scheme up plays immediately for Polk?
Is he on the field, and is he getting plays schemed up for him? And if he is, you know they're really treating this player with kid gloves.
It is funny. They have too many receivers, right? Like, they have, a quantity over quality.
Yeah.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
they
have
a lot of good ones, but they have a lot of similarly skilled receivers.
To my point is, they have inactive receivers, but then they also have active ones who don't play.
Yeah.
Here are the active guys, and they're all playing.
Yeah.
Like, he could actually be active on Sunday and not play.
Correct.
Like, they did KJ Osborne, I think, last week was active.
Tyquan Thornton 2 weeks ago played 2% of the snaps. Right. They could easily do that. Frank is in Dover on our Barmore discussion. Go ahead, Frank.
Frank?
Frank?
Hello, Frank?
Frank.
Frank, you're next. Frank. Go ahead, Frank.
We'll
hold for Frank.
Wasn't really itching to talk about Christian Barmore. Right. Chris is in Maine.
Neither was he, evidently. Yeah. Hello, Chris.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
You were asking earlier, do Pats fans care if they win games at this stage? Absolutely. Because I think, it's important as they're building some sort of a culture on this team that they need to figure out, who cares about winning, to be honest. And, it doesn't matter if they pick 1, 2, 3, or, 9 or 10, because they're going to address, hopefully, offensive line, get a tackle or two, and then, maybe Bob Kraft has to spend some money and then get your top line receiver, But so it does matter if they win.
Yeah, I want them to win.
I do too, at least right now. I mean, come back to me in 2 months, and if it's, hey, if you lose out, you get pick 3. If you win out, you're picking 7. Then, okay, lose those last 2.
And, if you didn't have Drake May, I've said this a bunch this year, but I'll reiterate.
Yep.
If you didn't have Drake May and you needed a quarterback, I would be like, this is an important game. You may want to lose this one. It's a race to the bottom.
That's a big swing. I think if the quarterback's waiting there at the end of it, then you probably as a franchise should.
And
if it's not, then try to win.
We said I don't love this quarterback class, so I don't know that I would feel that way. But the fact that they have Drake May, I feel even more strongly. I don't want them tanking for the first pick, because I agree with that caller. What's the difference between 5 and 10? Like, it's not like you can't trade from 10 to 5. You might have to put in other capital, but if there's a player you love, you can still get them.
Here's the other
thing,
too.
You're not moving from 10 to 1 to get the quarterback. You don't need a quarterback. It's easier to move up and get somebody. So I don't think there's a huge difference. I think there's value in winning games and getting some buy-in early on with Drake May from within the locker room. I don't know how many guys are going to be on the team next year and the year after that, but get some buy-in with Drake May.
Also, if they lose out, let's say, or win one game,
And they're 1-16, 2-15.
So there is, the NFL loves parity. The NFL is sort of designed on it, and they want teams to go from worst to first. And we've seen teams be really bad. So we brought up the example of Jared Goff. Jared Goff, the number one overall pick, only started 7 games under Jeff Fisher and was horrible. He looked like he was bad. And then they were really good the next year. But they didn't just bring everybody back. So if they're really, really bad, I don't think with a straight face you could bring Gerard Mayo, Alex Van Pelt, Drake May back. And something tells me 2 out of those 3 guys are locked in.
Right.
But like, I don't think, how many examples are there of this? We'd have to get the Rich Keefe stats and info department on it. But how many examples are a really, really bad team then the next year with all of those pieces in place, really good? Maybe the coach and the quarterback, maybe just the coach, maybe just the quarterback, but I can't imagine the coordinator and everybody is like, yeah, we were 0-12, but there were some good signs there.
Yeah.
No, like, you can't be 0-12 with good signs.
No, I mean, look, I said this earlier. I would rather they win the game and May doesn't play great than they lose the game and May plays great.
I think maybe for a one-off, I can't sign up for too many of
those. No, I agree. I don't want that the rest of the year, but for this game, it feels like the team needs a win for like some buy-in so they don't just all check out. And, you know, start driving around Providence.
It's like the guy at the bar.
I
need a win.
They need something.
I need a win here.
And this, like, they need it. Especially looking, because if they lose to Jacksonville.
Man.
And, I mean, and you're on the way back on a long flight.
Doug Peterson would get a little sign of life.
You're going to get a lot of guys checking out.
Don't let Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence get hot.
And there's a benefit to having veterans and even young players not completely check out while you're trying to figure out what you have in Drake May. More updates here from Alex Van Pelt.
EVP.
He continues to speak at the podium. He says how May has improved over the last few weeks. He says that he's gotten good on the red zone period.
Like that.
He also has gotten them into the right protections, the right routes, and threw a touchdown. He says, I don't know if that would have gotten done in week one. So that's Alex Van Pelt patting himself on the back a little bit.
No, I've done.
He couldn't have done that week one, but because of my work and what I did, this is now where he's at. So you can thank me later.
It's not just a look at the job I've done. It's also a, it was the right call not to start him.
Correct. Yo, both.
That's what that is.
Yeah, for sure. And it's also a little bit of like, see, I have value here. I want to be here beyond this year and beyond December. I have value.
So for everybody, the wins probably matter the most to him.
Even more so than Mayo. Yeah, I think.
Although he just lost his job last year, and he was the quarterback coach for 5 quarterbacks who made the playoffs. That's
a good point.
And they were like, "No, we don't want you."
That's a good point.
So I don't know. Maybe that's not.
Yeah. Who are the wins most important to? That's a good question. We played the Patriots blame game earlier today. You can jump in on all of that. 617-779-7937. We're going to talk to Andrew Raycroft,
the Razor.
The Razor. With the Bruins winning last night in Colorado. Dietrich Wise will join us at some point here today.
TBD.
So stay tuned for all of that.
Hampus Lindholm playing at a 750th NHL game. They score! The Bruins convert on the power play. Pasternak makes it 3-1 Boston. Second Bruins goal on the power play after they came into this game 2-for-18. And now they make it 4-1. Hampus Lindholm will set up the third goal. Peach Georgiev. 2 goals in 13 seconds. Puck sent down into the empty net. It is now 5-3 Bruins.
Bruins 5-3 winners last night in Colorado. That's right after they were called out by their head coach, Jim Montgomery.
They sure were.
You got a fight at Zadorov last night. You lose Marchand for a stretch. You hear the 2 goals in 13 seconds as the Bruins move to 3-2. They even get a win without Jeremy Swayman in the net.
Your guy, Korpisalo.
That is my guy. I don't even know how many of those we're going to get this year. But there's one. So put that on the big board. It's Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We got your phone call, 617-779-7937. And we're joined now by The Razor.
The Razor.
Andrew Raycroft of Nesson. What's going on, Razor?
Not much, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Oh, we're doing good.
Nice little win last night.
Well, exactly. Well, it was a nice little win last night for the Bruins. I think my big takeaway is it felt like they responded to Montgomery calling him out the game prior. Or would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, no question. No question. And it's 4 games in and you're getting called out. Like, it's stressful. The NHL, I know it's 82 games, but it really is more similar to an NFL season in that you can't have a bad start. And a good start goes a long way, and I thought they responded well, getting out on the road and battling.
You know, what was the, you know, the first four games, even last night, you know, they did take some penalties, obviously, but in the first four games, it seemed like penalties all over the place. Do you put that more on the players, or is that, can that go to the coaching staff?
No, that's on the players, but I you know, it's just kind of sloppy, right? The start of any regular season gets a little sloppy. I think all teams have been playing that way, or the majority of them at the start of this NHL season. So I think it's just about getting up to speed and recognizing kind of what the refs are calling, but also just getting your feet going. A lot of stick penalties, right? And that usually means feet aren't moving.
What do you thought of the new guys, Lindholm and Zadorov?
Well, they've started out great. Lindholm, you can see him, how smart he is. Yeah, and all the little things that he does, just watching him through five games, you know, when he's in Calgary and in Vancouver, just coming in once a week, or once a year, sorry, you don't notice the details that he has. And the comparison to the Bergeron light is certainly there, because he plays a huge 200-foot game, he reads the play so well, he seems to be in the right position, and the good news is he scored right away. You know, he's getting points right away. I think that's a huge bonus for him, because he does everything else really well. And then Zadorov, what we've seen from him is, I think, what he is. He's a big guy. He makes plays at times. He makes mistakes at times. He takes penalties at times. He's an adventure, but someone that the Bruins needed on the back end, and a huge help.
This is a fan base that has always loved the fourth line, has always wanted the fourth line to be really good and productive, and, you know, knows the fourth line. This seems to be, with good reason, though, this year. Those guys, every night, seem to be one of the most consistent lines they throw out there.
Super exciting to see that. And you're right. It is such a blue-collar fan base. The fourth line is a pride of joy, I think, for Bruins Nation a lot of times. They love them being big and strong and physical and tough and getting in on the forecheck. And that's what this group, the three of them, have done since the start of training camp. You know, the first game of preseason, Mark Kastelic must have gotten 19 scrums in the first preseason game, and it hasn't ended. And it's translated into points for them early on, which is what a bonus, what a huge relief for those guys, because a lot of times you can be on a fourth line and not get opportunities, and it takes you 3 weeks to get on the board, and you start to get nervous and frustrated. But for them to get the success early, playing the way they are and continuing it now through five games is huge, not just for the team, but for those guys. And you can see that their game's only going to grow now from that. So it's really important. And we know, listen, the big thing is, right, that we know how important that is in April and May, and that's the big one.
Talking to Andrew Raycroft of Nesson, joining us here on Jones and Keefe, our Bruins insider. Razor, last time we talked to you was before Jeremy Swayman had signed. He had been called out by Cam Neely and the organization. I guess your thoughts on where they settled at 8.25, and are you surprised it came together as quickly as it did? Because, you know, I think last time we talked, we all thought there was going to be a little more hardball and this was going to drag out longer than it did.
Yeah, well, again, I'm glad it's over, that's for sure. I know the players and the organization are glad it's over. I think we talked about leverage and we talked about, you know, pressure points. At the end of the day, money talks. When the team was going to lose cap space and when the player was going to lose money out of their wallet, the deal got done. So I don't think that's a coincidence. I don't think that should be too surprising in hindsight. It did feel like the week before that it was at odds. But again, money talks at the end of the day for everybody. And to get it done at the start of the regular season, to get it done at a number that, you know, is pretty close to what everyone was talking about all along, or at least the Bruins were, and Jeremy Swayman gets compensated very well over the next 8 years to play a game.
What do you think of his performance on the ice so far? Three games, three starts right in a row. He had the one in the middle that looked really good, and then splits the other two, win over Montreal and the loss to Florida.
Yeah, so the first one was as expected. The game was kind of sloppy. The opportunities that Montreal had, it was a tough game. I think there were six shots in the first period and a couple of goals just banging off players' backside. So that was to be expected. I loved his second game. And then the third game kind of got a little wobbly as well, just in how it was played in front of him. A couple of power play goals. So, again, it's great to get him in three games. The other thing that was great, him playing three games, Corpusalo gets some work. You put him back in. He looks better in net already just after his first game. Gets a big win, like you guys just said, prior to me getting on here. That's a huge win for Corpusalo. You don't want to go 0-2. 1-1, you're like, okay, now I'm back to 500, and now I can run from that. So it'll be similar to Jeremy Swayman. He's going to have 5 days off, 6 days off with between starts. So, you know, he's getting work done while he's out on the road and should continue to look more comfortable as the games go on.
Do you have a number in mind for how many games he should start this year? Meaning Swayman, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. Well, we heard the 55, and I think ideally you get 52. If it's 52-32 at the end of the season, you know the Bruins had a great season and were handily in the playoffs come March, and you're able to bank some rest for Jeremy Swayman, get the right opportunities for starts. Now, if it goes 60-22, then you're saying that would tell me that the Bruins are grinding in March to get in the playoffs or are 3-4 points up, and they're trying to hold on to that, and they're playing the starter a little bit more. So typically, if you look at the end of the season, the best teams, the starters play a little bit less because they're kind of cruising into the playoffs at the end. It's the teams that are in 6th, 7th place that are the ones really leaning on their starting goalie at the end of the season. So if I had to pick a number that would be perfect, it would be that 50-52, which gives Corpusalo 30-32 starts, meaning he's playing well, getting wins, and Jeremy Swayman's getting wins and being rested for a good Bruins team.
If there's no back-to-backs, how many games in a row realistically can Swayman start? I mean, because on the one hand, I know you don't want to just completely like ice out Corpusalo, but we were trying to figure it out at the beginning of the year, and I didn't know if they were going to alternate at first just because Swayman was still getting his legs back, but he goes three in a row, then Corpusalo. Like, will there be a stretch where it's 4 or 5 games in a row, or is 3 kind of the cap?
No, I think there could be. I even dug into the schedule. Like, I kind of go month to month on my schedule just to, like, keep my sanity so I don't think about what's going on.
Yeah, there's no back-to-back, I think, until November 2nd and 3rd. So they go the rest of this month with no back-to-backs, and it's, like, 6 games.
Yeah. So for instance, like this week, for example, if the Bruins had a play, so they played Monday, they play Wednesday. If they had a played again, like a back, like they played tonight or they played Friday and then Sunday, like I think you could see. Sorry, I'm talking a lot now. Now you could have 5-6 starts.
Okay.
Bad radio. I apologize. I really apologize. The reason why I think Corpusalo played last night, because if he hadn't have played, he's not playing for 15 days. So I think more a matter. It's not a matter of how many days Swayman plays in a row. It's more a matter of how much rest is in between. So if they have 8 games over 2 weeks, 4-4, then I could see a scenario where Corpusalo plays the second one of that, and then Swayman rattles 5 or 6 off in a row, and then Corpusalo plays the 8th one, but he only had 10 days off in rest.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's more look at Corpusalo playing once every 10 days. That's the absolute max you want to freeze a guy out for.
Gotcha. We'll clean all that up in post, Fraser.
Yeah,
don't worry about it.
No, we'll polish that up. And you know, if anybody knows,
the editors for that.
Yeah. And if anybody knows bad radio, it's us too. It does. Don't worry about it. So when it comes to the Panthers, Razor, they're obviously more talented than the Bruins. Is it just talent, or are they in their heads?
I don't think they're in their heads. I think they are talented. I think the style of play can give the Bruins trouble at times. And especially this week that just went past where the Bruins are trying too hard. I thought the Bruins tried too hard against both games against Florida. I think in that respect, they're trying to prove, they're trying to show, they're trying to be physical, they're trying to get in their face, they're trying to make plays. Florida doesn't make plays. And they're really difficult to make plays against because they play fast. The puck goes down the goal line up to the points and it goes in on net right away. And there's a lot of chaos involved. And I think at times the Bruins, over the last 2 games, especially on Monday, had opportunities to go low to high and put it on net or break out of the zone, just going up the wall, chip it out and go chase it, where they try to make a play to the middle. And then the forecheck of the Panthers gets going and they get behind and they take a penalty from that. So they're not in their heads by any means. The other thing is, too, the way the NHL season is, so they don't even have to worry about the Florida Panthers again. They play once in January and that's and once in March. Like, it's kind of over with until they see him possibly in April, where this has to come back up again. So it's more a stylistic situation, and I think the Bruins, as the season go on, will get more prepared because they understand that they have to go through Florida at some point in the playoffs, and that's where we go talk about fourth line and being direct.
Okay. Razor, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to Andrew Raycroft every Thursday at 11:30 here on Jones and Keefe. Best of luck at the Warren Prescott there today, and we'll talk next week.
Love it. Thank you. I got to warm up and keep my words down, obviously.
Okay. All right. Sounds good, Razor. Thank you.
You got it. Bye.
Thank you. Andrew Raycroft joining us here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. We normally talk to Patriots players on Fridays, Mondays and Fridays,
right,
on Jones and Keefe. Patriots Monday, Patriots Friday here on WEEI. With the Patriots going to London, we're shuffling our schedule here a little bit as they leave tomorrow, I believe, for London. So joining us right now is Dietrich Wise, Patriots defensive lineman. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Dietrich Wise, how are we doing this week? You excited about going to London, another international stage?
Yes, that's right, I am. It's going to be pretty cool.
This week, Gerard Mayo, head coach, said there will be changes personnel-wise. Have you guys already been made aware of what those changes will be?
We have not.
So on a typical week, when do you guys find out sort of, you know, who's starting, who's first, you know, first guys in? Like, when do you find that out for a particular game?
Now, it depends on the group, but most likely it's case-by-case basis. We usually don't really know who's starting until closer to game.
We've heard Gerard Mayo be very critical of some of the defensive breakdowns you guys have had with your run fits. How do you get that cleaned up this weekend against Jacksonville?
It's all a mindset. Playing the run is a mindset. Knowing to get, when you get to the game, knowing what you're going to get. We've been rehearsing and going over the things that we're going to see in the game. So when we see them, we won't have any excuse on how to properly react to the block.
What has stood out thus far preparing for Jacksonville?
Don't know if number one's playing the running back, but if he is, both of these guys, number one, number four, are strong running backs. Number four, four is a very hard runner. Loves to lower his shoulder, and also very fast. We know Trevor Lawrence is who he is. He's a great thrower, but definitely put the ball in the right spot for the receiver to catch it. Can also run the ball as well. And then this offensive line is pretty big and strong as well. So we've been seeing some good things. They have some fast receivers, strong linemen, and a strong running back. So we have a challenge on our hands once again, but if we play the game that we know how to play, that's tough, physical, then we'll definitely come out with a win.
Does part of you want to face Mac Jones a little bit?
not any animosity, that type of way. But if he does play, you know what I'm saying, it'd be cool to play against him again.
I feel like he'd be very sackable. I feel like of all the quarterbacks that you might want to sack, I feel like he'd be up at the top of the list.
You know, it's funny you say that because he's actually very fast and very agile in the pocket. He definitely played here. He definitely ran around, definitely broke some yardage, definitely his first couple years here. So if he does get to play, we'll definitely have a make sure we contain him.
Yeah, I just watch out between the whistles. If I were you, that's all I would do. Make sure you're wearing a cup.
He's kicked some guys.
That's all I would say if he's out there on the field. Drake May also quite mobile, as we've seen through his first start and his first couple of appearances here with the New England Patriots. He was on the injury report yesterday. Anything happened yesterday at practice with him?
I am unaware.
Okay. So now you're unaware of anything knee related that could have popped up on the injury report yesterday. That'd lead me to believe that maybe it happened in the game. Okay. Trying to connect some dots. That's interesting. What'd you think of Drake May in his first start?
I think he actually played very well, in my opinion, first time playing. I think him still learning the game. He has some things to work on, but overall, I think he showed some good things on tape. And looking to see what he can do this week to build upon that.
You've somehow been able to avoid the captain's curse. I don't want to throw it out there, but looking at the six captains that were announced at the beginning of the season, you were the only one active last week.
It's like Final Destination.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't talk about it, but have you felt that pressure?
No, I haven't felt any pressure. It's kind of unfortunate what happened to the guys around me, but I don't know. I just feel like there's things that are going on that's out of our control, and we all are here together pushing for each other, pushing for one another to get better or to get back into their old way, so whatever that is.
He's Patriots captain Dietrich Wise, joins us here on what's normally a Patriots Friday on a Thursday on Jones and Keefe. Dietrich, we appreciate the time. Best of luck in London on Sunday.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Have y'all ever been to London yourself?
No, I never have.
How often have you been to Europe, Keith? I haven't been to Europe all that much.
Once. I went to Spain once.
Wow.
How about us?
Same. How about you, DJ? I mean, you've played Germany. You've played London, right? Where else have you been?
For football, Mexico, Germany, and London. That's it.
What about in your personal travels? You've been elsewhere?
I've been overseas a few times. I've been to the Caribbean, and I've been to Dubai one time.
Dubai? How about that?
That's a flight.
You know what? I have a family wedding in Dubai coming up early next year.
How do you like that?
How about that?
Prepare for the travel. It's a long travel.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. I will mark that down. Dietrich, best of luck. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you.
Dietrich Wise. Patriots Thursday here.
Two things are, if he ends up having to face Mac Jones, that means they already knocked Trevor Lawrence out of the game.
Yep.
No, I'm not saying injury. I just mean he threw two picks. They're playing horrible. They're like, all right, we got to
They made him
guys.
An honorary Patriots captain before the game, and he goes down. Yeah,
in comes Mac Jones, and then they can just get, sack Mac Jones. Then you feel like they're dead. If Mac Jones plays in the game, they win.
Patriots?
Yes.
Yeah. I feel good about that.
Yeah.
Just, watch your knees.
he'll come after
you. If there's a return going the other way, just keep your head on a swivel.
He'll take a guy down with you.
Make sure you're covering up below the belt.
Uh-huh.
That'd be my recommendation. Something tells me Dietrich Wise knows that very well.
He knows.
But Mac's super mobile. You may not know that, Keith, but super mobile.
I don't remember that, but I'll take his word for it.
I mean,
I never lined up across
the man. Saw it every day in practice.
Right.
He pays very close attention to practice. Didn't see anything with Drake May. That leads me to believe that it must have happened in the game, according to Dietrich Wise.
Nice.
News breaking here on Jones and Keith.
Uh-huh.
We'll get to your phone calls coming up. I want to get to the NBA's top 100. How'd the Celtics fare there? The latest, Jason Tatum, we found out his rank.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Patriots getting disrespected
Celtics.
In the NBA's, what did I say?
Patriots. The
I'm
Patriots
sorry.
Are getting respected properly.
Patriots are definitely not getting their respect in the NBA top 100.
There's not a single guy on there.
Patriots are getting their proper lack of respect. I'm sorry, the Celtics, how'd they fare?
Oh, good question.
In the NBA's top 100.
Sorry, not to belabor things,
yes?
But good question. Do you think any of the players are going to raw dog the flight to London?
It's better than watching game film, I'd imagine, on the way back.
Like, guys, we're going to watch tapes. Like, or
just sit there
or
and stare at the back of the seat.
For six straight hours, stare at the seat in front of you. I'll take it up. I'll do that, coach.
Let's get to the Celtics. In Abu Dhabi earlier this offseason, not Dubai. The NBA's top 100. That's next. Jones and Keith here on WEEI. If you missed any of Andrew Raycroft,
the Razor.
Good stuff with Razor.
Oh, good stuff with Razor. Good stuff with Dietrich Wise. He wanted to.
Dietrich Wise got like a shot of adrenaline there at the end of the interview.
You know what's so weird about that?
What?
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
I mean, the shot of adrenaline, obviously.
Yeah.
A little off off character, out of character.
You know what it was?
What?
As soon as you'd be like, hey, this is the last question we have for you. It's like, hell yeah! It talks for like 10 more minutes. You're like, wait a minute.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Because the thing is,
second.
I started off asking him about London. He could have gone with all his like happy London talk.
I don't know. He didn't go there.
And
for
it was
some
like
reason.
Two words. He's like, "Yeah, I'm excited about London."
And then he's asking us questions. I was like,
where have you been? Have you guys been to London before?
I've never been to London.
All of a sudden, I mean, we're
happy.
I don't know if I'm ever going to go to London.
Let me tell you,
I feel like there's a lot of places in the world I'd like to see, and that's I would go there.
I'd absolutely go. You wouldn't go to London?
I would, but I feel like I'd rather. There's like other places I'd rather.
Oh, I see. Lower in your international power rankings.
Yeah, it's not like
Jones and Keefe emergency international power rankings.
Top five.
Yeah.
Because there's, you're not doing like a big trip every year. So then all of a sudden,
no.
Like 10 years goes by. You've done two trips. Like, I'm not trying to, I don't think that would be high on my list.
Yeah, here's what I always want to do on a family trip. Just go somewhere all inclusive.
Those are nice.
That's what I want to do.
Because when you do that, you're like, why don't we do this every time? And then when you don't do it, you're like, why aren't we back there?
They're all the same. Like, it doesn't matter where you go. You
could
go
be
to
anywhere.
Any island. You can go to Mexico, anywhere in the Caribbean. They're all basically the same.
Anywhere
at the end
beach.
Of the day. Right. Pool, beach, unlimited drinks.
Yep.
Can't do that in London.
No.
So
no,
you know
God,
what?
No.
You know what? Fair point.
Go back. Yeah, he's been to the Caribbean.
He's been to the Caribbean.
Yeah, he told us that.
Been to Dubai.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, he's a well-traveled man. I would have loved to have that conversation. Yeah. I didn't realize he was so willing to go there. And especially because we started off by asking him about London, it really threw me that he wanted to go
they
there.
Circled back.
But hey, he said, missed opportunity.
Like, this is better.
It's a regret, Keith. You ever have that sometimes? You wish you said something?
No. Not me.
You wish you said something? And
everything's
you're like, man,
perfect.
I gotta get back in there. I've never regretted anything I've done.
Every day I'm like, I said the exact right thing at exact right time.
It's something to aspire to.
I nailed it.
But yeah, he said, oh, you know what? I should have. I came in. I wanted to talk about London. They threw me off by asking so quickly. I was caught off guard.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
We get the London game.
Usually I come on, they box me around a little bit. I wanted to talk London, and I dropped the ball, so I brought it back up to them.
He's been on the team so long that he was on the team when they did their Mexico trip. And that was
I did not remember that. When he said that, I'm like, right.
That was way back in the day when I was interviewing Belichick, Bragg. And he brought up in the interview, we were talking to him about like the trip to Mexico and everything. Uh-huh. He brought up like tectonic plates and like the stuff, like the whole atmosphere down there. He was not happy at all about going to Mexico, and he made it like very clear, like he did not want to play in Mexico. It was like the altitude, it was the field, it was the travel, it was like the security, it was like everything about it.
The xenophobia. Yeah. The xenophobia was a big
everything.
One.
Yeah, didn't want to be a part of it.
Yeah,
the Aztecs, the Mayans, the Incas. He didn't want to be a part of it.
No.
And he's done Mexico, Germany, and England. It's too much. They should do New England, Jacksonville, back to Foxborough. Maybe New York.
Yeah, I did. We did stumble on this the other day. You don't like the international games
international
at all.
Game.
You're very, very against it. I said I'd rather have the Jaguars play every game.
It really pisses me off. I don't like the international game. I also don't like the two Monday Night Football games, and I don't like Thursday Night Football, but here I am watching all of it.
Yeah, here I am just consuming every little bit. Well, we're a little late to talk the Celtics, but just since you brought up Belichick discussing play tectonics.
Yeah. He was fired up about it.
You know what today is the 35-year anniversary of?
I do not. I read this October 17th, 35 years ago.
I read this morning. It's kind of a random baseball player sort of thing.
Random baseball player?
Ish. Random baseball event.
Billy Ripken with the...
wrote on his bat.
He wrote on the knob of his bat.
No, it was the earthquake in the Bay Area, that World Series game.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
A's and Dodgers?
A's and...
No.
Giants.
Yeah. Giants. Excuse me.
The hell?
Yeah. Bay Area. Yeah. Not California teams.
Yeah, it's all the same.
Like Tom Brady grew up in California. That's what somebody was yelling at us yesterday.
Somebody yelled that. They said
he was famously a Niners fan, not a Raiders fan.
So he went to go part-own the Raiders in Vegas when he was a Niners fan as a child? That makes a lot of sense.
A lifelong Patriot, grew up a Niners fan, played for the Bucks, and owns the Raiders. Got it.
But there you go.
As long as we got it.
35 years ago.
Twitch chat is saying it's Hippolyto Pichardo's birthday. I don't know if that's true. That might be true.
If that's true,
we got ourselves.
Unbelievable way to land that plane. But here you go. People will say, grab bag, educational.